gang. Welcome to another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network, republicbroadcasting.org. It's your home for free speech. So go to republicbroadcasting.org, click on the donate button, send a donation, keep free speech alive. Also go to nationalbugle.com. It's where you will find the link to the CoCertified app. Download that CoCertified app. It's free. It's free if you use it online. It's, I think, $2.99 for your Android phone. If you've got an Apple, Tim Cook's got some sort of issues. We all know that. So you can't get it for your Apple. You'll have to use it online. But you can do that. So just click on the link. And today's Tuesday, so we have Andy Hitchcock from Great Britain. Andy, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Patrick. It's wonderful to be doing this joint production for RBN and, of course, David's show on Wentz Radio. It's always a pleasure working with you, and we do a monthly show, a joint show on RBN. So this is sort of a little bonus while we still do the show for David. So thank you so much for having me on today.
Yeah, it's a joint show because you've got a daily show on the Wentz Radio Network.
Yes, that's right. And people can get that at... AndrewCarringtonHitchcock.com. I put the archives up generally within about an hour of broadcast, so you know that can all be accessed there. And the other things, just for rents very quickly, are if you want to get all the shows that are available, you just go to rentsradioarchives.com, and there you can find a direct link to my show, to Dr. David Duke's show, to Jeff Rentz's show, and the Ted Austin Brower show, and they are the ones that are part of the Wentz Radio Network at the current time.
Okay. Sounds good. It's great to be part of Wentz Radio Network, as well as that other network that I just mentioned, RBN, of course. Okay, so on RBN, there's a show called the What Really Happened with Mike Rivero, and I thought I heard him say something about the National Health Service refusing treatment to people who haven't been vaccinated, and I thought, what? That would really be over the top. But that hasn't quite happened yet, has it?
Well, it's interesting that you bring this up, Patrick, because I listen to another show called The Richie Allen Show that goes out Monday to Thursday. And you can get this at richieallen.co.uk. And Richie is spelled R-I-C-H-I-E. So there's no T in it. RICHIEALLEN.co.uk, RICHIEALLEN.co.uk. And I think it was last week that I listened to one of his shows, and he brought out similar information. And where he'd gleaned this from is our health secretary, Matt Hancock, in the UK, was taking questions in the House of Commons. And he took a question. Firstly, he made some somewhat ambiguous statement regarding people getting vaccines, and you know, these people essentially need to be prioritised by the NHS. And then Andrea Leadsom asked a question. Now, people may be familiar with the name Andrea Leadsom. When Theresa May ran for the leadership and ultimately became Prime Minister for the Conservative Party, the only other candidate left after the first round of voting was Andrea Leadsom. And then Andrea Leadsom was asked by an interviewer if she felt her position as a mother would make her a good prime minister. And she said yes. And this was designed to trip her up because Theresa May and her husband can't have children. I'm not sure which one. Doesn't matter. They don't have any. And so this was used as an attack by the media on her having a go at Theresa May not having children. Now, I don't know much about Andrea Leadsom. I think that she was misconstrued. But what she said, as I said, what happened there was rather than then have it go to a runoff between the two of them, she pulled out, leaving Theresa May as the only person running, and she then became Prime Minister. But so that's where Andrea Leadsom comes from, a bit of background there. The point that she made, she then made a question in such a way that she said, are we basically saying that, you know, people who won't get vaccinated aren't essentially going to be part of the NHS? And then Matt Hancock answered in a similar vein. Now, I think people are reaching a bit, but what I can say from my own personal perspective is you certainly can't have an operation in the NHS unless you've had a COVID test, because I was down for an operation on my ear that I've subsequently declined to have, because the way that they do it is you have to go in initially and have a COVID test, and then you do your pre-admission checks and stuff like that. And then you have to self-isolate for, I think, 3 days. Then you go back and I believe you have another COVID test. And if you're okay, then you have your operation. Well, I've heard very negative things about the COVID tests as well. They jam something right up your nose that Dr. Lorraine Day claims is going to break the blood-brain barrier. I've got problems, you know, ear, nose and throat anyway. So something like that would be extremely difficult for me to go through. And I made that point to the person who phoned me up, and it was like, doesn't matter. You either have that or you don't come in. And so I said, okay, take me off your list. I'll just put up with my ear how it is, because I wouldn't, you know, take the risk of what these tests could potentially do to me. So that's where we are with regard to that. But I certainly think that we're going to see a great ramping up of restrictions on people who don't get the vaccine, forcing everyone to get it. I was listening to a guy called Dennis Fetcho, who's an expat from the US who works in the Middle East. He's currently in Saudi Arabia. And apparently, according to him, you're having to have passports in Saudi Arabia to go into shops and all sorts. So they're trying different things in different countries, and I think seeing what flies and what doesn't. And this is the great advantage that these people have got. They're operating this globally so that they can test different ideas in different countries and see what pushback they get. I think Australia has been a great testing ground for that. And we've seen all sorts of draconian measures imposed over there. And of course, they're another country that's been disarmed. So I think it's just a case of watch this space. But I say to people regularly that while you've got freedoms, use them. I firmly encourage people to prep where they can, in whatever way they want, food, what have you. You don't know how long that these, for example, it's only been the last month or so that we've been able to eat in a restaurant. So I went straight out and I ate in a few restaurants, and I found out that some of them have gone right downhill because, of course, the staff that made it good have probably left and they've been replaced with others. But while you can do these sorts of things, they can just turn around. I remember in the last lockdown, I had a couple of places booked for me and my mother to go to, and I had to cancel them because just one day they turned around and said, right, lockdown again. They don't give you any warning. It just happens. So essentially, make hay, folks, while the sun shines, and, you know, get the provisions in you need. Make the most of the freedoms that they're giving you. I know it sounds ultimate cuckery to say that, but, you know, if you want to eat in a restaurant and you're very anti-lockdown as I am, well, if that restaurant's going to close in the lockdown, it doesn't matter how many marches you go jumping up and down. If they decide to close, they close, and you ain't going to get your food there. So while you've got the freedoms that you've got, make the most of it, because I firmly believe that later in the year we'll see another big lockdown and it'll be worldwide, Patrick.
You know, okay, so you mentioned Australia, and Australia really is draconian. I was speaking to a Aussie who I guess what his son is trying to get into Australia. It's like his son had left the country and wants to come back to go to university and can't, and they're trying to fit him through somehow, get him through New Zealand, which I don't know if he has like two passports or what, but they're like not even letting their own citizens back into the country for what. And this was all done incrementally. This is the thing. So if you were to go back to, what was it, Leap Day 2020, right? The end, very last day of February, or was it the first day of March? You know, the first thing that really tipped me off was when the NBA canceled their season. That's when I knew something was up. I mean, I knew that they're, like, in Japan, they had postponed, or they had shut down public schools for a while or something like that back in February. They were doing this in other countries. But in America, it's like all of a sudden things happened really suddenly at the beginning of March, but they weren't saying, okay, we're going to throw 30 million people out of work and you're going to have to wear masks for the next year and a half plus who knows how long, and you can't go to gyms, and we're going to stick experimental gene therapies into you, and if you don't comply, you're going to be punished in these various ways. They didn't say all that at first. You know, it was all very incremental. And of course, if people, 16 months ago, would that be it? Yeah, about 16 months ago. If people 16 months ago had any inkling, and also we're going to have everybody vote by mail so we can end our political system. If people had any inkling of what was going to happen, there would have been by the way, black crime will be legalized and riots. Yeah, I mean, just think of everything that's happened the past 16 months. And if people had had any inkling of it, wouldn't they have been up in arms? But yet they weren't. It was incremental. And, you know, here's maybe you've got some other insights into it. But I think one of the features of this incrementalism is you get people, well, like Mark Twain says, it's easier to fool somebody than to convince someone they've been fooled. So you fool them on something small, but you get them on that road, right? You fool them about the masks. You fool them about maybe, you know, a lockdown for a few weeks. But once they bought into that, it's, you know, once they bought into things for a couple of months, then you got them, don't you? Because they have to say, well, I must have been wrong 2 months ago. I made a mistake, and people don't want to do that. Is there a lot more to it? Am I missing big things? How important is that factor, do you think?
Well, I think that this is the great big question regarding the vaccine, because I'm convinced now that the inflation of the deaths, all these deaths being attributed to COVID for whatever reason, in order to justify lockdowns, were basically they want to get this vaccine into people's bodies, okay? And so this is classic problem, reaction, solution. And what they wanted is to basically get a vaccine into you. And so they thought, how are we going to do this? And so essentially they made out that there was a virus out there, that I believe there is a virus out there, but they deliberately inflated the numbers. And then they used that to justify lockdowns, which make people's lives miserable, in the hope that that would encourage these people to get the vaccine, believing that they were going to be free. And it was funny because, not funny for the people concerned, but when the vaccine rollout started last December in the UK, there were elderly people coming out and saying, I've got the vaccine so I can see my grandchildren at Christmas. And then they suddenly changed that at the last minute. And we were supposed to have these 4 days at Christmas where, you know, all families could meet up and, oh, there's a new strain. And they pulled that at the last minute. So I think that what they've been doing is that the problem that we have is there are lots of doctors out there that come out with some very interesting information, but they cannot all be right because some of their information conflicts. You know, some people are saying that people who take this vaccine are going to be all, you know, they're going to die within 2-3 years. And, you know, other people are saying different things. There are some people saying the vaccine has just got some sort of nanotech in there that's designed to track you and what have you. But the question that people need to ask themselves is the people that the powers that should not be dislike the most are obviously the people who are not going to comply with the government's wishes, whoever that government may be around the world. And so the people they should most want to get rid of would be the people who don't get the vaccine, not the people that do. Because if all the people that get the vaccine, who are the compliant ones, all die off, then suddenly the population that they've got to control are a bunch of, you know, anti-vax rabble-rousers like myself. So that would be the last population that they would want to have left. So the issue that we have is really, what is the vaccine going to do to us? We know it's killed probably hundreds of thousands of people around the world so far, and that's according to their own figures. I have figures that I go to in the UK every week, and I think we're up to, let me see, I've got it here, 1,332 dead from the vaccines, and 276,800...
Just the past week or so, 4 British Airlines pilots, correct?
Well, I've heard that, but the problem is, it's like anything now. You hear something like that, and then you think, oh, I'll go and verify it, and you... It doesn't matter what search engine you try. Oh, this is fake. Oh, this is fact checked. Oh, this is. And so the whole thing is everyone, you can no longer verify things from other sources. It's dreadful. And I think that this is, you know, this is why we've had all the censorship and things like that. It could well be true. I don't know, because I can't cross-reference it, because as soon as it came out, all these other sites are saying, oh, this is fake news. This is fake news. So you're just stuck as to what direction to go in. I think that they lie about so many things. And when you see the level that they'll go to try and dispel that news, you would have to argue, well, it looks like it probably is true. Otherwise, why are they making such an effort to dispel it? But when British Airways themselves are denying it, it just goes to show how deep the level of control is.
Indeed. Oh, there was something I wanted to ask you. So when this all started, there were people who were who were actually kind of calling it correctly, who were people who maybe sounded kind of hysterical at the time, but to a large extent calling it correctly. Now, of course, you're pointing out that the worst fears that the vaccine would kill everybody, that it would leave the hardcore anti-vaxxers, the most, you know, the people that they would most likely want to get rid of, it would leave them around. Now, you know, even if you're saying you're seeing, 1,000-something deaths in the UK, where there've probably been, what, how many people have been vaccinated? 20 million or something? But, you know, there are side effects, and people like Eric Clapton have lived to talk about their side effects, and people like Marvin Hagler have not lived to talk about their side effects. There's obviously something going on, but even just the precedent that it's setting is scary. And then, of course, I've also heard reports, and it's very, very difficult to confirm things, as you say, about very large increases in miscarriages among women. And this was one of the big fears, that it would impact fertility. Now, here's a question. If they wouldn't necessarily want to kill off the most compliant people and leave them, the rabble-rousers, around, right? But to sterilize, I mean, not that everybody who gets a vaccine is going to be sterilized, but to reduce reproduction, to reduce fertility in those compliant people, what do you think of that? Because a lot of those compliant people I hate to say it, but a lot of them are high IQ white people. Isn't that the most compliant group, is high IQ white people?
Well, again, I think that you're right. This is why what they're doing, it's so difficult. There's a lot of information out there, and there's a lot of ways that we can interpret it. For example, you know, it's killing some people, and I heard another report that because they've got this sort of, we hear about the blood clotting and things like that. Well, someone made the point, it was a doctor, I forget who, there's just so many out there, it's like information overload. But the people with a higher concentration of iron in their blood are the people that are getting affected straight away by what's in this vaccine, and that's what makes it clot, because it turns you into a sort of send-receiver type of thing, you know, like a human antenna, that sort of thing. And so, you know, that sounds conspiratorial. That's what this person said, but it would make sense with the blood clotting, because I know an individual who suffers from hemochromatosis, which is too much iron in the blood. And he has to have blood taken out of him every few weeks. And otherwise he's passing out and all sorts of stuff, you know. It's quite, quite awful. And so, essentially, when you think about something like that, that would explain why certain people have died very soon after taking the vaccine or have experienced all these health problems. But if it's to be believed in the UK, I think the last figure I heard was 30 million have been vaccinated. That's what the government claimed. But then other people say to me, well, the government are making that up, because they're trying to, the more people they say can get vaccinated, then the more people will join the herd. But let's just say their figure is correct. And let's say that their figure of 276,867 people being injured and 1,332 people being killed by the vaccine off the government website. I got that yesterday, so that's pretty up to date. Then that's still a minuscule percentage of 30 million, regardless of whether, you know, these vaccinated deaths and injuries are downplayed and the, you know, that's if they're not being downplayed, I mean. So the problem is there's so many lies out there that you just...
As a listener of RBN, you're surely concerned about being informed and being ready for whatever may come. please consider the following questionnaire as a soul-jarring wake-up call. If you answer no to more than two of these following questions, you probably aren't going to make it through any major disruption in our country. The questions were compiled by people that have been there. Are you really ready? Do you own your own firearm for the primary defense and protection of you and your loved ones? Have you ever been professionally trained to stand against life-threatening behavior? Have you ever practiced enough to fire 500 rounds during a 2 to 4 day time frame, day and night? Can you load, unload, fire, and clear a jam in total darkness? Have all the adults in your household been professionally trained? Are you, life and death, comfortable with your abilities with pistol, revolver, shotgun, and rifle? Are you aware that everything that you do to prepare for an emergency is a waste of time, money, and energy? If you haven't honed your abilities to their highest level to protect and keep what you have, do you have the repair parts that will most likely be needed for each of your firearm, and do you have the ability to install those parts? Could you completely clean every firearm you own? Are you aware that your body won't go where your mind hasn't been? In other words, without proper training, followed by regular practice, you probably will not win a gunfight. Well, how did you measure up? Take the once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to start correcting your deficiencies by receiving your Commander Lifetime Membership with Front Sight Firearms Training Facility. A one-time donation to RBN for $500 will give you a Commander Lifetime Membership at Front Sight as a tremendously huge thank-you bonus. See details on RBN's webpage to make it happen. The clock is ticking. You had better be ready before it happens.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company, and it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks?
When pigs fly!
The new EaseOff Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The EaseOff lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive! Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the EaseOff? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com, EazeOff.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. EaseOff LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
You know, that's if they're not being downplayed, I mean. So the problem is there's so many lies out there that you just don't know where to go. But what you do know is that your government, especially in the UK, and this is a sort of point that I bring up. If you look at, for example, and I don't want to go into a different direction, this is just an example, the incidents of all these Muslim rape gangs, and Mark Collette is an excellent authority on this because he's living in around the areas where this primarily took place. And we know for an absolute fact that this was covered up. It was even admitted. And it was covered up, so they say, to prevent racism. But you could also argue it was covered up so as not to, you know, create a population backlash against immigration. And so essentially what your government was doing was preventing news getting out that may cause people to question their immigration policy because they wanted to pump more and more immigrants into the country, regardless of whether these people were going to subsequently be involved in the grooming of children. Now, if that's what your government is prepared to, they'd rather bring immigration in. And if they rape children, well, that's just... you know, the opportunity cost of it, whatever they want to call it. Can you trust your government when they tell you that they want you to take a vaccine? And I'll give you this other bit of news that I've got here. This is from the Ron Paul Institute, ronpaulinstitute.org, and it's a headline, "Did your jab come from convicted felons?" written by Jeff Harris, Thursday, June the 10th of this year. Would you be comfortable inviting a convicted sex offender to babysit your 8-year-old daughter for the evening? I know what you're thinking. That's preposterous. What a ridiculous question. Who in their right mind would ever consider such nonsense? I agree, it does sound crazy. But think about this. Way back in 2009, Pfizer Inc., which is one of the four manufacturers of the not yet approved by the FDA experimental therapy called a vaccine, was convicted in the United States Department of Justice for fraud resulting in the largest settlement in the agency's history at the time. Here's the headline from the DOJ's website dated September the 2nd, 2009. And there's a link to that, Patrick, that I've clicked on. And this is www.justice.gov, the United States Department of Justice. Headline, Justice Department announces largest healthcare fraud settlement in its history. Underneath it says Pfizer to pay $2.3 billion for fraudulent marketing. And this went up on the United States Department of Justice website on Wednesday, September 2nd of 2009. And so essentially we've got an organisation that has been convicted and ordered to pay $2.3 billion for fraudulent marketing. And governments all around the world are saying you've got to take this vaccine that they've just brought out. It's essential. You know, what's wrong with this picture? Back to you, Patrick.
There's a lot wrong with it. Now, so you mentioned, you know, this is a government that your government and my government, immigration is a very, very high priority, and grooming gangs and, you know, crime and murder and whatever else comes with immigration. That's just a transaction cost. That's the price of doing business, because we're getting so much from immigration. And, you know, immigration's like, it's got so much momentum right now. And, you know, if it just keeps going for another couple decades, then, I mean, sometime in the next couple decades, we're just kind of beyond the point of no return. There's only one thing that potentially could screw us, kill us faster than that, and that would be World War III. And it's not as if I think there's really forces out there that want World War III. I don't know if there were really, I mean, maybe there were forces that wanted World War I and World War II, or maybe people got in over their heads. But I'm not saying that there's necessarily people who want to start World War III, but there's certainly people who are willing to risk it. And one, you know, and in the United States right now, you're seeing this big ramp up of hostility against China. And for the entirety of the Trump presidency, Trump was called Putin's puppet. Russia had hacked the election and all this stuff. And of course, if you looked at the attack on Trump, it was all a bunch of Jews. I mean, that Trump impeachment, not the second one, which was still Jews too, but the first one, I mean, it was a lot, I mean, even Jewish news organizations were writing about the thoroughly Jewish nature of it. You know, from the committee chairman to the media that was covering it to the witnesses that were called. I mean, it was just a thoroughly Jewish affair. And so Republicans, in their great wisdom, decided, okay, we're going to get back, and the way we get back is by saying Joe Biden's a puppet of the Chinese. That gets back at him, right? That really gets back at them. And of course, it's not, you know, you look at the Joe Biden foreign policy team, and these people are pretty anti-China too. And one thing that happened last week at some point was John Stewart, his real name's John Leibowitz, but he was very popular in the first 14, 15 years of this century. And then he retired, but he was very popular. And he was very, you know, liberal, Democrat, progressive, whatever. I always thought he had more to do with
Sweet Leilani, heavenly flower.
The truth. You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. because you can handle the truth.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll-free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Extendivite 7-herb formulation is approved to help maintain cardiovascular health and help lower blood lipid levels in adults. Extendivite is made from hawthorn, garlic, valerian, cayenne, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, and milk thistle. The herbs in Extendivite have been chosen for their ability to help with overall health. Many people have reported improved energy and stamina in just a few months. If you think you could feel just a little bit better, then Extendivite may just be for you. Extendivite is an all-natural supplement. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a two-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. Well, we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country. Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store, or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
You are my paradise completed.
Oh, lovely Leilani.
You are my dream.
Oh. 14, 15 years of this century, and then he retired, but he was very popular, and he was very, you know, liberal, Democrat, progressive, whatever. I always thought he had more to do with conditioning the country to accept gay marriage than any other individual. Maybe I gave him more credit than he deserved for that, or more blame. But he had been anti-Iraq war, but pro-Afghanistan war. At any rate, he got wheeled out. It was on his former protege, Stephen Colbert's show. And he got out to just shill for hostility against China, which I thought was worthy of taking note. He kept saying that the name of the lab in Wuhan is like the Wuhan lab. I don't know. He kept repeating the name of the lab in Wuhan. And so here's my question. I know that was a long prologue to the question. We're seeing all of this hostility towards China here, both from the Trump people who are out of office, who want to blame things on China, but now increasingly from the pro-Biden people. Are you seeing anything like this in the UK? Is there anything like that, like hostility towards China, that's brewing in the UK?
Well, I think that what they're doing in the mainstream is they're inching towards the China was either negligent in releasing the COVID-19 virus or they deliberately engineered it in a lab. And the interesting thing to do with that is I certainly, all this screaming from the likes of, say, Tucker Carlson. Now, Tucker Carlson's a very accomplished presenter and he says some interesting things, but yeah, it's all China, China, China. And of course, he started off with Bill Kristol, didn't he? And then he's working for Fox News, and we know who owns the media. And I think that essentially, you're always going to have a group of people that are skeptical of the government. And that's where they bring the likes.
I'm just going to interject for a second in case anybody didn't know your reference to Bill Kristol. Bill Kristol, because there's also a comedian named Bill Kristol, but there's a publisher, Bill Kristol, who used to publish the Weekly Standard, and he was one of the founders of the Project for a New American Century, which was the think tank that basically planned the Iraq war.
Yes, indeed. Thank you for that clarification, Patrick. And the what I was getting to is there's always going to be people sceptical of the government. And so it's in the powers that should not be's best interest to trap them and redirect them to the wrong enemy. And that's where you get the likes of a Tucker Carlson coming in, because they provide a useful buffer to that so that people don't end up coming to the likes of Rents Radio or Public Broadcasting Network. They're the buffers that they put in place so people don't get to who's really behind what's going on. And this is the issue that we're always facing. And so at the same time with that in mind, we mustn't forget a couple of important things. Now, we know historically all these wars in the Middle East, it hasn't been the Israeli army going doing all these different things. They use the American military as their proxy and things like that. And so when you look back at how China became communist and you look at the names who were working with Mao Zedong back in the late 1940s to make it communist, and then you hear quotes like Rabbi Stephen Wise saying, some call it communism, I call it Judaism. And then you think about how all the manufacturing, not just out the US, but pretty much around the world, has been moved to China and also India, you start to think to yourself, well, hang on. You know, they've got a compliant population out in China. In China, you've got the social credit score system where, you know, an academic dissident suddenly can't get train tickets, for example, because of his political views. He's got the money, but they just won't let him travel because they don't like what he says. And we see what's happening with them wanting to digitize everything. I mean, you know, now when I mentioned restaurants earlier, I don't have a phone that can scan these QR codes, but everywhere they go, they want you to scan a QR code and I can't. So I have to give them my name and my phone number. Okay. Essentially, I know from my experience of having had my books taken off Amazon, of having lost my PayPal account, different things like that, that they can do these things to you. And regardless of the fact that your views or what you've written, you know, is not a crime, oh, well, we're a private company, we can do what we want, and the government won't do anything. To which I always reply, well, if that's the case, then why did the government go after a guy who refused to bake a cake for a homosexual wedding? Oh, no, that's different. You can't be private business then. You know, it's one rule for one and one rule for the other. So the fears that we have to, and what we have to be wary of, is this digitization of everything. Because it doesn't matter if you've got 10 million in the bank. If they turn around and say to you, you ain't using it here, then you're stuck. And that's where I think that they want to go with this. And I think they've also, with China, you know, communism has been embedded into these people for like over 70 years. And so they've got this system over there of compliant people that they pay peanuts to. And you look at their army and different things like that.
Although
it could be
a lot more now than they used to. They're a lot better paid. They're a lot better paid now than they used to be.
Oh, yes. But the point is that they can be because they've built them up. And you could get to a situation. You look at the way that they behave compared to the decadence of the West. And they've got a majority of them over there have got a real belief in the party and the state and what have you, because it's been brainwashed into them to the like of George Orwell's 1984. And essentially, I think that that's where that could be. We go back full circle to what you said earlier about the vaccines, and most people taking it are compliant white people. Well, We know how much they hate white people. You just need to look at their media now. Now, in the past, if you went back to like the 1970s and what have you, you'd see your sitcoms and the white man was a bit stupid and his wife was the bright one and, you know, she worked out what things to do and stuff like that. And then, you know, you move it forward and suddenly the blacks are elevated in the media and then they're pushing it's a black man with a white woman and all this. And now they've just gone all out and it's like in the media, white supremacy and, you know, I've got this article here that I only mentioned, Mark Dankoff sent it over from RT, and it's from yesterday, 21st of June. Did David Duke produce this? Washington Post ripped for video on white accountability groups to help understand whiteness. Now, I'll just read the first three short paragraphs, and I just can't make sense of it. It doesn't make sense to me. Critics are accusing the Washington Post of promoting ignorant neo-racist ideas through a new normal video series teaching about the costs of whiteness and encouraging white accountability groups. White-minded supremacy author and trauma specialist Resmaa Menakem informs viewers at the beginning of the video is not episodic, it's structural. Menakem goes on to say that white people feeling horror at events such as the killing of George Floyd, which kicked off numerous Black Lives Matter protests across the country last year, is not enough and is different to Black Americans dealing with structural racism. Now these terms are just being bombarded at us and I just don't get what they're doing. I know what they're doing. What they're trying to do is demonize white people as regularly as they can because they appear to be trying to inflame the non-white populations against white people, and then when any of these people react to their propaganda and you get black on white crime, for example, then the media just don't report it. And so it ain't happening. You know, that's the way they're doing it. And when you look at these groups such as the Hebrew Immigrant Aid Society and many others that, and even go back to the 1965 Hart-Celler Act, which promoted non-white immigration over the previous, whatever the doctrine was, where they had to only bring in immigrants that would reflect the breakdown of the American population. So if 10% of America was white Germans, they could only that year bring in 10% white Germans, stuff like that. So it didn't upset the current breakdown. Of course, the Hart-Celler Act completely changed that, and that was put through by Senator Jacob Javits. And it appears to me now, when we look at things like the Kudinov-Kulerky plan to essentially, you know, get rid of whites from Europe, that what we're seeing is a long-term plan that has been to put non-whites into historically white nations, and when they feel that they've got enough of them, to use the media to inflame these people against white people in order that they may do them some harm. And it's very difficult to draw any other conclusion from it when you see the way that the media and the governments are behaving. Patrick, back to you.
Yeah, you know, when a couple of years ago, I think we talked about the Khashoggi plan. I was a bit dismissive of it because I was saying, like, well, just because somebody has a plan and it winds up happening doesn't mean that the plan carried it out. But, you know, on further research, I remember concluding, okay, this Khashoggi guy was at least as prominent in his time as, say, Bill Kristol is in our time. And I just gave Bill Kristol a lot of blame for the Iraq War. So I've kind of reconsidered a little bit of that that Khashoggi plan. Khashoggi actually he was a very prominent person. He did have a lot of financial backers and he had an institute just like Bill Kristol had his project for the New American Century and had a lot of alumni from that wound up getting into the Bush administration. So. Okay, here's something I want to talk about. I think you were talking about Tucker Carlson. I don't know if you used the term controlled opposition. I know, I think last night on Jeremy, his show, In Plain Sight on RBN, he mentioned Tucker Carlson, and he said, we know he's controlled opposition. And so, I mean, I think the term controlled opposition, if it didn't originate from George Orwell, it was certainly popularized by him. But think of the word control. So if you're a puppet master, you're controlling the puppet. If you're, you know, like a poodle trainer, you're controlling your poodle. But also if you're like a crocodile wrestler alligators, not crocodiles. The alligator wrestler is controlling the crocodile, but the crocodile is resisting, you know, and if you lasso a Mustang and corral him, you've got him controlled. So when people would talk about Donald Trump being controlled, and I always thought, well, it depends on what version of the word control you're thinking of. You know, because people who are losing a fight, losing a wrestling match, are being controlled. And that was always more my opinion of Trump, is that he was losing. And so to the extent he was controlled, it was because he was losing, not because he was conspiring. You've got somebody like Tucker Carlson, and, you know, maybe it's splitting hairs. He knows he can only go so far. And I guess the question becomes, is he trying to get out as much as he can within the boundaries of that corral they've got him in the hope that it will do some good? Or is he trying to, like I think you were talking about, get out enough information, because it's going to get out there anyway, so that then he can keep people tuned in to Fox News and not moving over to you know, Rents or to RBN, to keep, so just enough, he gets enough out there in order to keep people in front of his show, in his corral, with him in his corral. And, you know, if you look out there, there's certainly both types, right?
Well, let's take a couple of examples. Now, I understand that he refused to speak out against the Hunter Biden laptop scandal. He said that he used to be a neighbor of his and he was a friend of his, stuff like that. Closed it down straight away like that. A lot of people are unhappy about that.
Well, now, he did say he was friends with Hunter Biden, but then he invited on, like right before the election, he had on this Biden business associate to come on and talk about how important that stuff was. But, you know, there is a lot of stuff that, like, he didn't talk at all about the fake election.
Well, right. The reason I bring that up is contrast that with recently when he alluded to white replacement theory. The mainstream media went absolutely apoplectic, having a great big conniption fit about that. And so in some ways, he's a bit like a Trump. You know, he gives with one hand and takes with the other. And I think that you could look at that in two ways. You can look at it and say, well, he's trying to get out as much as he can, or is he trying to hold, are they using him to try and hold on? They suddenly see a bit of a dip in their ratings and they're like, oh, Tucker, you better say something controversial that, you know, your white audience will like to suck them back in or retain them, and then do that. It's one of those things that, you know, we don't know. We can only speculate either way. But I think that he's, in the same way, years ago, I was very anti Alex Jones, for example, when I was younger, and I was like, you know, this guy's, you know, saying, I mean, when he said it was Arabs run Hollywood and, you know, nonsense like that. But when I first, you know, I was questioning, you know, what was really going on in the world and what have you, and I found internet radio. Well, I started off with the likes of Alex Jones. I think the first show I ever heard was Frosty Baldridge on Alex Jones, and I know Frosty, and it was his only ever appearance, so it was quite funny. I think it was back in 2001. But I'm where I am now. And I think a lot of other people have been on a similar journey, you know, listening to your show right now. And so it didn't work on us. We listened to it for a bit and we thought, we've got to go a bit further here. There's some interesting stuff, but it's not quite making sense when you do your own research. And then you jump through other different people and you get to, you know, the people who are telling you the truth and telling you who really is controlling the world and what have you. So I think that buffers are definitely put in place, but at the same time, these buffers could be useful, because if, for example, you were going to, you're a normie out there and someone's going to turn around and tell you about the Kalergi plan, that's just going to be like, no, I'm not going there. Can't go there. That's too far. You know, and so you need to make the transition slowly. But what you always find is that when people come to our side, they don't suddenly turn around and say, well, you know, we've actually worked out that, you know, what Patrick or Andy Hitchcock or whatever are saying is complete rubbish. And, you know, the Daily Mail were telling us the truth all along. So once people come to our side, we've got a lifetime recruit. But that's why I think that so many buffers are put in place. What are your thoughts on that, Patrick?
Well, here's one thing that I've been thinking about a lot, Well, you know, one thing is, okay, there's two things. One, and this is something I was talking about yesterday and recently with Mark Collett. When people do come to us, it can only happen after they have realized that so much of what they hear from the establishment are complete lies, right? Once they think that they're being lied to by the establishment, sometimes they start thinking, well, what else am I being lied about? How about physics? How about biology? And they start going into all sorts of stuff and wind up, you know, either getting caught into like a lot of weird conspiracy type stuff, or just having to spend a lot of time reinventing the wheel, confirming things. So that's one thing. But here's the other thing. This is what I wanted to mention. You know, I have the feeling, I really think that you and I and Dr. Duke and, you know, a lot of other people have a very good grip on the reality of Jewish power and other things. But, you know, I don't know about you. It took me a long time to understand at least some of the important aspects of Jewish power. Even if I understood certain aspects of it for decades, it took a long time to understand other aspects of it.
Together, okay?
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2 keep it today.
Extendivite has proven time and again it really works. Here's a testimonial from Amazon.com. I am only 40, but I have put my body through hell working in manufacturing for 20 years. I recently started to notice a buzzing feeling along with a stuttering sensation with my heart. I had a full cardio stress done, which I passed. I decided to try Extendivite after getting the jingle stuck in my head. Halfway through the bottle, I really did notice a difference. After getting home from work, I would just sit in a chair for a few hours feeling like crap, and this stuff reduced that feeling along with heart discomfort to almost nothing. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Hey gang, Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and a new app, Koshertified, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Koshertified app can make a huge difference for your future.
Will it be that I'm gonna love you,
I'm gonna love you
till the end,
till the end
of time.
Important aspects of Jewish power. Even if I understood certain aspects of it for decades, it took a long time to understand other aspects of it. And I think I'm a pretty reasonably quick learner, but it took me a long time. It takes some people a long time. And I have the feeling that you, well, not you, but like myself and a lot of people in the audience, we might assume that the powers that, you know, you see these people in Parliament, in Congress, on TV, in corporate America, in the media, and we might just assume that they know exactly what's going on because it's going on all around them, because they're in the middle of it. And I'm starting to come to the opinion that actually we understand things a lot better than a lot of people who are right in the middle of it, including maybe top Jews who might even be brainwashed by their own propaganda about the Holocaust, about white supremacism, about all sorts of stuff. So that's what I'm starting to question. Now, we only have a few minutes left, but what do you think of that?
Well, it's about, you know, I see a lot of people out there and people are getting more and more frustrated, and they're I hear people calling into shows, calling for violence, which is just ridiculous because you're playing into these people's hands. This is how I would explain something. Yeah. Now,
if it wasn't playing into the hands, why would the feds be trying to set that kind of stuff up?
Right. Well, exactly. But just very quickly, I've got state.gov defining anti-Semitism, and it says one of the points is making mendacious, dehumanizing, demonizing, or stereotypical allegations about Jews as such, or the power of Jews as collective, such as, especially but not exclusively, the myth about a world Jewish conspiracy. So basically, they're saying it's anti-Semitic to make allegations of Jews, the power of Jews as a collective. Now, if we go to the text of the Barbara Lerner Spector speech, have a listen to this quote. I think there's a resurgence of anti-Semitism because at this point in time, Europe has not yet learned how to be multicultural. And I think we're going to be part of the throes of that transformation, which must take place. Europe has not yet learned to be multicultural. Europe is not going to be the monolithic societies that they once were in the last century. Get this. Jews are going to be at the centre of that. It's a huge transformation for Europe to make. They're now going into multicultural mode, and Jews will be resented for our leading because of our leading role. So she's talking about the power of Jews as a collective. Is she guilty of anti-Semitism, Patrick?
Well, she's not going to be charged with it. and we bring up Joel Stein's article or Ben Stein's article or David Brooks's articles, all recognizing the power of Jews in the media and in other fields, and acknowledging them, and in some cases saying, I don't care if people know about it, I just care that we get to keep exercising it. But even then, in this last minute, Barbara Lerner Spector, could she somehow be thinking that multiculturalism really is good? It's good because it's going to protect these goyim from themselves. If it wasn't for us Jews leading multiculturalism, they might go Nazi again, and it didn't work out well for them well, and so we're doing takum alom and saving them from themselves. Is that a ridiculous thing for me to even ponder, or what? We got about 30 seconds. What do you think?
Well, all I would say is it's my understanding that speech was made for Israeli television, and it wasn't meant to leak out to the West, and it did. So I would disagree with that based upon what I was told about the origins of that speech, Patrick. Back to you.
Okay. Well, that's about all the time we have for today. And how do people find you, and how do people support you?
Just go to andrewcarringtonhitchcock.com, and there's some couple of books that I've written down the right-hand side, or there's a banner at the top that they can click on as to how they can support my work. Thank you so much, Patrick. You're a wonderful host, as always.
Thank you. And I will be back again tomorrow with another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio.
It's happening, ladies and gentlemen. We here at RBN are working with Front Sight Firearms Training Institute to bring our audience the best in combat, tactical, and defensive firearms training. Whether you're a private citizen who is new to firearms, or you have a concealed weapon permit, and want a level of training that surpasses what you've received from your local gun range, Front Sight provides priceless education and skills taught by seasoned law enforcement, military, and private citizen instructors to levels that far exceed law enforcement and military. military standard. With nearly a million responsible citizens trained from every town, city, and state from across the United States, Front Sight has bolstered the Patriot movement to a whole new level. Contact Dan Sutterfield by phone at 573-762-2356 or 573-465-2356 or shoot him an email at domedan, D-O-M-E-D-A-N, at hotmail.com. This is a limited-time opportunity. Don't miss it.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.